Okay. So I think if I've done everything correctly, you should all be seeing the how are WordPress sites vulnerable? Please let me know if you can actually see that. No. Okay. Share. Let's try this. One second. Now, can you see how are WordPress sites vulnerable? Okay, perfect. All right, so let me give it just a second, and looks like it just now turned 3 o'clock. So we're going to get started with our first of 3 days here in our Hacking a WordPress Disaster week. So good afternoon, welcome back. This is our disaster week. We do this almost once a year here at WP Studio, and I've been doing it for a number of years prior to that, where we look at the current state of WordPress security, what it offers, what we need to do, and a whole bunch of other things. So this week, for today, tomorrow, and Thursday, there's a logic to the madness, my madness. And part of it is today is going to be the shortest day because we're going to be actually talking about why WordPress is insecure. So we'll be talking about how people hack, what they do, what they target, why they target, and we'll have conversations. Tomorrow, we are going to be actually working on a live WordPress website on locking down a site. How do we respond to the vulnerabilities? And then on Thursday, some of it is your one of your favorite days. We are talking about recovering from a hack, what to do when your site actually is hacked. What is there a process to go through? Where should you look? What should you do? How do you clean up a client's website? How do you clean up your own websites? So it's very interesting because if you talk to anybody in the technology world who does anything with websites, and you ask what are security issues? People will start talking about all sorts of cross-site scripting, injection attacks, database things. But everybody is probably going to be in the same camp and saying WordPress has the most attacks against it. Well, now let me see if I can actually change the slide. Yes, WordPress is the largest platform used on the internet. When I say largest platform, I'm specifically talking about content management systems. So content management systems are what people hack. Most people don't go after, or most hackers don't charge after somebody who has a custom-built website. Why? Because A, they don't know how it was built. B, they don't have other objects. Once they figure out how to hack your website, they're not going to be able to repurpose that knowledge that they already have learned because you're only powering one of your websites. Now, if I go after a WordPress site and I figure out a vulnerability, that gives me a massive target that I can go after tons of other websites because there's tons of WordPress websites. So because WordPress is the largest platform on the internet, one second. Hopefully I can figure out how to change the slide there. Therefore, it's one of the most attacked platforms. So when you read these articles by security people about how WordPress is so insecure because there's so many hacks that happen, well, if for whatever, if let's say Drupal had the same market share, there's a helicopter going over. Hopefully that isn't getting on the call. If Drupal had as much install base and the number of sites running as WordPress, I will tell you right now, Drupal would be the most insecure website, and then WordPress would be behind it. So the only reason that WordPress is as insecure to the general public is because it's the most used. Here's the other thing. Let me, I'm gonna, and I'm going to tell little stories. We're going to go on little tangents. Anything in the current commercial marketplace that is used a lot, there are, quote, hacks or ways around it. And I'm going to use non-technical things. So how many of you are familiar with master locks? You know, the little padlocks that you put on your shed door or your locker door or some type of location that you want to keep people out. You probably are under the mistaken impression that if I have a master lock, what's behind this door is going to be protected. Well, I can be the first one to point you. Just simply go to YouTube and you will find hundreds, maybe thousands of videos how to crack master lock padlocks. Cracking master lock padlocks in 3 seconds. Why? Because people have figured out how the tumblers work with master lock, where they are, how they do, where you can hit the thing in a certain place, how you can literally, you know, use a bobby pin in one location, pop the pin, and any master lock opens up. Well, if you want a really expensive padlock, there probably aren't a lot of them out there, and so therefore it's a lot less likely it's going to be able to be cracked. So it actually is, and I tested this out. I had some fun with this. I think I actually told you guys about this. I went down this road when we actually lost one of the keys to a padlock we had in a storage facility. Well, I had to get in there, and I wasn't going to pay money to do this. I didn't want to cut the lock or anything. So I taught myself how to pick a lock. And because it was a master lock, well, guess what? I, as a non-criminal, was able to get into that master lock in like 5 seconds. So in the same way where WordPress is the most used website platform, content management system, this is also why it is the most attacked. There's so, once you learn how to crack one master lock, guess what? I can crack any master lock. So with the concept of the more things are out there, here's another example. How many of you, either when you were back in college or maybe you're in a small town or you're vacationing or you use a laundromat outside, you look and you see that there are certain types of washers and dryers at coin-fed or any type of push-button laundromats, whether it's in your college dormitory or something else like that. Well, there really are basically 5 different types of commercial-grade laundromat things that have, you know, key cards and coin operated, all those type of things. Of those 5 commercial grade companies, 2 of them probably take up almost 90% of the entire commercial washer dryer business. So go ahead and go on YouTube. You will find all sorts of hacks on how you can get free laundry. If you press the top left and right, the top 2 left buttons, and press them in an order of 1, 2, 3, it unlocks the entire pay for laundromat so that you can just run your own laundry yourself without having to pay for it. Now, if you use one of the other companies that is lesser known, you're not going to find any hacks about, because it's not worth it for the people to attempt to hack it because it's only used in a few places. So whether we're talking about laundromats, whether we're talking about lock picking, or whether we're talking about websites, just because WordPress is the most attacked platform does not mean it's any more secure or less secure. It simply means there are more attacks against WordPress. Yeah. So, what type of hacks? Now, before I start reading some of these off, and we're going to go through some of these attacks. When we talk about Sure. WordPress powers, depending on which group you look, read about, or you believe, at least 30, more than 30%, 34%, some say more, of the internet. Of the platforms that are hacked, basically WordPress is targeted 83% of the time. This is according to Sucuri, a security website fixing company. And yes, they do a lot of stuff with WordPress, but they also deal with Joomla, Magento, Drupal, OpenCart, you know, PrestaShop, Typo3, OS Con. They pretty much cover the gamut of most of the content management systems. But they have said that 83% of the hacks that they have to fix or that they see coming across their desks are all targeted at WordPress. So this is, I think, another reason. A lot of people just hear, well, WordPress is vulnerable, it's attacked, but they don't know how or why. So part of this conversation today is so that when you have clients or you have people talk to you about the security of WordPress and whether it's secure, you can talk from a knowledge base about here's the six key areas that WordPress is hacked on the majority of time, and this is how we address those things. So everything from backdoors to pharma hacks, brute force login attempts, malicious redirects, cross-site scripting, denial of service. I would venture to say that most of us here on this webinar today, you probably heard of these. You may even know exactly what some of these do. But I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into what each one of these type of vulnerabilities are, what they do, why people do this, what people gain from this type of a assault on a WordPress site, so that we not only have the knowledge, but we also know how to address and fix these things like what we're going to do on Wednesday and Thursday. So let's start off by talking about backdoors. Sorry, the text may be a little bit small. Hopefully, you all will be getting these slides in the replay of this webinar. So, okay, good. I'm glad it's large enough because on the phone, I have no idea how to make the font bigger. Okay, so I tried to give a technical without being technical definition of each one of these type of attack vectors. So the first one is with backdoors being abnormal usage of default resources. So this means basically, somebody gains access to the WP admin area of WordPress. Somebody gains access to your FTP, SFTP, your SSH area because you didn't lock it down. Maybe they gain access to user account manipulation. Why is this the number one thing? Well, because it says about 71% of all attacks have some type of backdoor built into it. So, before I dive into what it is and everything, I do want to explain and kind of put everybody's mind at ease. Even though 71% of all hacks on WordPress are backdoor related, they are also the easiest to fix. And it's one of those ones that can be fixed and identified fairly easily. And most of the time, the damage can be quickly contained and fixed and reverted before there are any major issues. So what are backdoors? These are going to be like random files on your server. And we'll talk about some examples here. It could be random users that show up in your user database. And they could also be files that run in inappropriate locations. So let's start with the last one, files that run inappropriately. Most of us have always used a type of form plugin that look, we use Gravity Forms or we use Caldera Forms or just any type of form plugin for WordPress because we have a client that says, you know, we're going to be doing this essay contest or we're going to be doing this competition where people are going to upload their artwork or their essays. And so can you have a place, a way for them to upload? So you're like, you know, this is a great idea. We will go ahead and just create, use a form plugin. It will upload those items and you just go. You basically, what you've now done is allowed people to upload any file they want into your server. So you think, you know, that's not a wise thing. So let's go ahead and lock it down to simply say, you know what, we're going to have only things that are have extensions of a PDF, a JPEG, a PNG, a Word document file, whatever it is that you are going to only allow. So therefore, we're getting a little bit more secure, but we're still allowing any random file to be uploaded into our server. Why is that bad? Well, because it's a WordPress site that basically any WordPress site, I can guess that probably 95% of the time, all uploads are going into the wp-contents folder /uploads/2019/12 or 11. I can figure out because I know how the month, the year, the date, the folder structure of the uploads area works. So if I know that, or at least I can guess at that for WordPress, here's what I'll do. I will create a JavaScript or something, or a Python script, or some type of a script. And then instead of labeling it with a .js, I am going to call it backdoor.js.png or PDF. So your server thinks it is a PDF and it allows it to be uploaded. And I just go visit that website, but because it's not actually a PDF, it's actually a JavaScript file, I could technically find a way to run that file. Or I don't even have to do that. What I can simply do is upload the file and wait for you, the site owner, to look at the file that was uploaded and you're like, oh, here's a submission from Bob Bobertson. Looks like he wrote an essay. Let me read the essay. So click on the link so that it will open it up from the server. And because now I'm the administrator opening up the form, you know, the form that was just filled out, I activated the JavaScript as the administrator on the site and therefore I gave it permissions to do everything. So there are plenty of ways that I can get a backdoor in. I may have to wait for you to open it, but then all of a sudden, maybe in that script, there's a phone home that tells me, hey, this site just got activated. And guess what we did? That JavaScript file that just got activated, it went and put another file in the Akismet folder. Why did they put it in the Akismet folder? Because every WordPress site has the Akismet folder in the plugins folder. And because I hid a folder there or I hid a file there, now I can go back and visit that file from my browser and I can log into your site. There's any ways of finding backdoors, or maybe it's as soon as somebody clicks the button or clicks the button on that form that I have uploaded into the uploads folder. So therefore now it's going to run whenever it's opened. I automatically create a user and set that user as an admin. And late at night, I just come in and log into your site as the admin. And I can do whatever I want to the site. So the idea of a backdoor is basically, it's an abnormal use of default resources on your server. And WordPress, it is the easiest one. This is also why we turn off capabilities of running files in the uploads folder. Most security plugins will do that. You can even, and we'll actually do this in the WP config file tomorrow. There are ways we can eliminate things from actually running unless they're actually supposed to be running. So all of these are things that lead to a backdoor And basically, when we talk about a few of the other attack vectors, the backdoor will be essential for people to use in conjunction for hacking WordPress. Pharma hacks. Well, this is the actual pharma hacks that occurred maybe about 6-7 years ago, which was ginormous, really, maybe it's 10 years ago with WordPress. Basically, it inserted rogue code into parts of WordPress. It filtered through everything. It was near impossible to remove. For most people, you pretty much had to start over. Rip the whole thing out, maybe rebuild the site on a local host, and then move it over after you wiped everything from the server. And why was it so bad? And yes, these hacks can be annoying, disruptive. But if you don't fix pharma hacks, you get blocked by search engines, which is probably worse than simply just having a backdoor. Because if your site is now blocked, no one's going to get there. There's a lot of penalties against Google if you allow a pharma hack to be on there. Now, most of the pharma hacks operated like this. Once they hacked your website, they insert, there was code, and normally it was an encrypted code. It's like a base64. So when you looked at it, you would see the words base64 and then just a whole string of characters. You wouldn't know, have a clue what it is unless you decode it. And most of the time when you decode it, it simply says, insert this code, like HTML, a script on the front end of a website, and run it. And the creative ones would basically, if any user is logged into the website, we're not going to show this. So all the people who owned the websites never knew that their site was pharma hacked until they started seeing, or people, they had customers calling them and saying, why are you, you know, promoting all these pharmaceutical drugs for me to go buy on your website? Or why is there a big banner about pharmaceutical ads? Or, you know, they would actually hide it from your IP address so that everyone who was not in your area or near your IP block would see it, but you would never see it. So people would say, hey, there's a problem with your website. You go visit the website. You can't find a thing wrong with it. So it was really hard to identify, but it would constantly insert. Well, if you were feeling that, oh, I have a handle on this and I can simply just go delete that script because I see that script in the Akismet folder. It's adding this code. So I go delete that and yay, my site's back to normal. And then you go back and revisit the site in an hour and it's all back there. Well, because what the pharma hack would do is it would add one file on the server. One file on the server. You have no idea where it is, especially if you have you're on a shared hosting account and there are 10,000 websites on this one server. Well, on that one website on that server amongst the 10,000 sites, that file will run every 10 minutes and it searches the entire server for anything called functions.php, index.php, page.php, frontpage.ph, all these, some of them would be in the theme folder. Some of them would be in something else. And it would search for that every single time it found a functions.php or an index.php. It would insert that base64 code at the very top. And so every 10 minutes, this one file on this one website amongst 10,000 websites on a single server would be searching through the entire server. If it found a functions.php and it still had that pharma hack, it would move on to the next one. If it didn't, it would add it. And then it got even more complex because when it adds that little code to every single functions.php on the entire server, there was also a callback to that original infected file. So every single one of those functions.php files or pages, the scripts, would search to see, hey, is that little sneaky file that we put on the server still there? If it's not there, go download it from this place and put it in the server again. So basically, it's constantly replicating itself and replacing itself even after you add it. You basically have to scrub the entire server before you can make the server live. Because if as long as you get everything, then it's not going to replicate itself. But that was the Pharma hack. Now, being on a good hosting account is basically all you need to prevent yourself from Pharma hacks, because they're constantly watching for these. But it's still amazing how often the Pharma hack pops up periodically within WordPress sites. How many of you ever had the Pharma hack? I know I had it. And that's why I kind of know how it really works, because I spent an entire weekend trying to figure out what in the world happened with my site. And it was that replicating page and code and all that stuff, all that fun stuff. All right. So let's go on to the next one. The next one is brute force logins. Brute force logins are simply the most true vulnerability that exists in WordPress. When I say most true, yes, there's lots of vulnerabilities, but this is a vulnerability that is known to WordPress core developers that anybody can hack into WordPress, that they don't do anything about it. And this is why you must have a security plugin. Doesn't matter what it is. You must have something that prevents brute force logins. So by definition, WordPress will allow you to retry passwords over and over and over and over again without kicking that nefarious bad actor out. Well, if that's true, I can simply run a dictionary rainbow table, a dictionary, you know, just a whole bunch of lists. I'll just try every single password known to man. And there are servers out there, there are actually files out there that already contain the 10,000 most used passwords, the 100,000 most used passwords. I can just simply run it through the system and it will find a password that I can probably hack into a website on, a WordPress site on. But if you have a security plugin that can handle this and stops brute force protection, like saying, like Security Studio says, you know, if we will only allow you 3 or 4 attempts at a password before we lock out your IP address. And then if you wait the 10 minutes to release and you do it again, you wait the 10 minutes, guess what? We're going to then ban you for 6 years. Because you've proven you are not responsible, or that is not a IP address we want affiliated with our website. Because WordPress allows brute force hacking, if you use a security plugin, you're fine. But if you simply have a WordPress site, it means anybody can gain access to any user account on your site. And once somebody has a user account, they can start figuring out whether it's the admin or not, or what permissions that come with that user. They will eventually get your admin account, and then they can do whatever they want. This is also the easiest one to block and to prevent. So we will deal with this one tomorrow in our lockdown. So the next one, if I can get the screen to move, is malicious redirects. This is probably, it's funny because I consider this one the most dangerous. How many of you have ever run to a website, you know you typed in their domain name, and you're taken to a site that kind of looks like that site, or maybe it looks exactly like that site, but it's only when you looked up at the website address, the domain bar, you recognized, you know what, that's not the default address. a lot of times we will have someone who hacks a WordPress site because they gained access to a backdoor, they gained access to the server, and they went in, they got access to the htaccess file. Now, remember, with the htaccess file, anybody who comes to my server, I can send them to another location if I have access to the htaccess file. So this is the dangerous thing. And I've actually seen this in action. I was able to catch it. I was able to remove it. But anybody who has dealt with websites that do money, that accept money, this is a danger. So here's the story behind this one. I was working with the group. They were doing a lot of cryptocurrency and some Bitcoin stuff. There were a number of people who had access to the server, so I can't tell whether or not it was actually an inside job or somebody hacked it. But as I was doing an assessment in the morning, I had actually noticed that there was some lower traffic happening. And so I dug into why there was a traffic drop, and I saw that there was an htaccess redirect. Well, guess what? It took us to a site, took everybody who visited the website to basically a carbon copy website of the exact mining cryptocurrency, a Bitcoin mining company, with a simple sale that was going on so that people could purchase their own cryptocurrency mining shares so that they could mine Bitcoin. And it would give the address to send the payment. And people were sending the payment. So what somebody had done is they had copied the website, the official website. The only thing they changed was the address to send payment to. People think they're on the site. They know the company. They're familiar with the company. They visit the company. They're taken to the site that looks exactly like the company. And they go to make the payment. They send the payment. And it does not go to the company. It goes to this person who had redirected. And Chris, I'll explain your question about why would anybody go through all of this creating backdoors and hacking, brute force and malicious redirects on servers that don't deal with payments. And there's a very, very real reason why. So that is a malicious redirect. And part of the other thing is simply by making your... bear with me one second. Let's try to make sure that you can all see the screen there. Okay. So not only is this dangerous, it's dangerous to your reputation, to your client's reputation, and to your customer protection. We will deal with this tomorrow in locking down the site, in making sure that the htaccess file is untouched by outside forces. Okay, two more to talk about. Cross-site scripting. This is simply another way to attack a WordPress website from another location. So a lot of times it's simply a piece of code is not going to sit on your server. And so because it doesn't sit on your server, you can't find it when you go search your server for the type of script information. Like a lot of times, if it's a pharma hack or something, you'll be able to find its location by, you know, either searching the Base64 encoded code or by searching the type of text used in the inserted HTML. And you'll find it very quickly. A cross-site scripting one that rewrites your HTML on a page is going to be on another server, another location, another domain. And so when you search your own server, your own site, you're not going to find it. You're not going to find any indication that there is an issue. And so it's a lot harder to find, and it does a lot more damage than simply rewriting your HTML on the page. Because it can also be used to simply listen to users on your website. That's why cross-site scripting is like Google Chrome and a bunch of other browsers. They've done a really good job of preventing cross-site scripting. So they don't, most browsers today don't allow scripts from other websites to be run, because what most of the hacks were occurring is those scripts from other websites would listen to your users, and it would harvest all their session data. So the moment your user entered their PayPal username or their credit card information or other detailed information that they think or they're just giving to you, there's somebody else listening. There's somebody else collecting that data and sending it back to a location. And there's also the ability, as I said, to rewrite HTML on the page, insert information, make it appear that there's something coming from your site when it's not actually coming from your site. All right, the final one to talk about is denial of service. So the denial of service is probably not something most of us are ever going to have to deal with. That's where somebody targets our website with so many resources that our server can't do anything. All the resources, all the queries, basically I can just send 1,000 queries a second to a certain server and it will die until it cuts me off and says, no, you can't do this. So most of us are not going to do this or experience this because there's no reason for them to deny the service of Grandma's Cookie Bakery. But what they will do, and that's the DOS, our danger is the DDoS. Because whenever somebody wants to do a denial of service against the FBI or something, and now they're listening, and now they're all tuned in. Wow, there's like 58 users that just joined. Just kidding. So if somebody wants to do a DOS, they have to have built a bot chain before they attack some large client. So the bot chain is basically as many WordPress websites that have been, or any website that a backdoor has been created, a user account has been created, whatever is all the things that we just talked about today. And those become slaves in the bot chain. So if I can sit around and hack just mom and pop WordPress websites, and now I have 42,000 WordPress websites that don't know they're being hacked because I'm not defacing them, but I have admin accounts. All I do is I, with one fell swoop, run a function or send a script to each one of those 42,000 websites that simply says, okay, you are all going to do a query to the FBI website 10,000 times a second. Which means now, and let's say those 42,000 websites are on 30,000 different servers around the US, around the world. I now have, and we're talking low scale here, most of the time, you're going to have hundreds of thousands of servers that have now been a part of this bot chain of websites that have been taken over and now used to attack something else. So this is actually one of the things that happened back in 2016. Do you remember when kind of the internet went down because you heard of a denial of service against DNS providers? It's exactly what happened. They've been able to find out that almost 57% of the bot chain were WordPress websites. A large portion of the bot chain that used to basically bring down the internet. Back on, I think it was late October, it was because there were WordPress sites that had been compromised. The hackers didn't do anything. They didn't deface anything. They just simply controlled the websites, the servers, when they wanted to attack a larger target. Now, why in the world is something, I mean, you may think some of this is movie type things, but if you think about, there's a lot of financial transactions, large scale financial transactions or money changing. So what they tend to do, you might do a denial of service immediately after you initiated a transaction. The denial of service occurs. Your transaction goes through because it already went through, but nobody else is able to interact with it. Then you can pull it back, or you can then trade your stocks at a lower level, release the denial of service. Everybody comes back, and basically, because nobody else was able to trade, you were able to, you knew exactly when it was going to start and stop. You were able to get in and out before anybody else. So there's a financial aspect. There's going after, you know, documents and other aspects. So a lot of things that can be done with the denial of service. They're not just for malicious purposes, but because somebody's actually attacking with a purpose. So, as we're going to talk about tomorrow and Thursday, keeping everything updated is vitally important for preventing all this. That's the best thing you can do, because if you keep your WordPress site, your plugins, your theme updated to with the latest security fixes, most of us are never going to have an issue with our site being hacked. But tomorrow, we will actually lock down a WordPress site. We will go through the process. I will be using Security Studio. I will be going into the WP config file, and I will be using the htaccess file to fully lock down a WordPress site while still allowing people to use the site, because that's the trade-off we have. Are we going to allow people to use the site, or are we going to deny everything and keep it as secure? Chris, the if you had a site which had loads and loads of bots trying to get into the site, it could be A, whoever's behind it thinks there are financial transactions happening. It could be simply something else on the server is vulnerable and they are just, it's a way to attack the whole server, to go after different parts on it. And then it's also, sometimes it's just somebody who's angry. So Thursday, we'll look at how to recover. Excuse me. We'll look at how to recover from a hack. So we will talk about what to do with your backups, how to filter through the stuff, how to search for the hack, how to, and I'll give you some command line searches. Most of us probably don't do much searching on the server level. So we'll look at all that. And then I will say, when is it a time to call in somebody else who does this professionally, either restoring or locking down? But the whole thing for this week is to, A, put your mind at ease by giving you the knowledge of how to protect yourself from what we just talked about today, and then what to do when something like this actually does happen. All right. Well, I'd love to hear the feedback for how the broadcasting from the phone works. Tomorrow we'll be back in broadcasting from the studio because I have to use the computer and we've got to do a whole bunch of coding stuff, and the same thing is for Thursday. But there are just a few things that I'll have to figure out with this phone, even if it will work in the future. But it's just a neat little thing that I actually hadn't known yet, that there is a whole aspect of Zoom that has a lot of cool things to do with the phone. All right, so we're going to end just a few minutes early today. The slides will be in the replay, and then I will see you back tomorrow. I believe we start at 1 o'clock. I actually did mute the notifications. So you all saw that I had a YouTube video waiting for me, and my wife was emailing me. I have the most mundane notifications ever. And actually, the funny thing is, if you see my notifications of my YouTube things, they're all sailing channels of different people who are on boats. So yeah, see if you can go catch them in the replay. I'm wondering if the replay picked those up. We'll find out. All right, well, I'll see you guys tomorrow. We'll be using Zoom, but we'll be back on the big screen. And we'll be, I'd encourage you that if you want to play it with the lockdown as well, set up a test website and also install Security Studio and have a text editor, because we'll need to get into the WP config file as well as the HD access file. But I will put that in the reminder for tomorrow's email, just about if you want to follow along, we'll be able to do that. So take care. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, and I will see you guys tomorrow. Oh, side note, I should have an update from my lawyer regarding the books tomorrow. I can't tell you how frustrated I am with the fact that the books are basically held up in a legal issue. But I told my lawyer that if I have to, I'll just rewrite the stuff under a different brand name. I'm so sick and tired of dealing with them. But I just want to, I'll give you guys all the update as much as I can without getting myself into legal hot water. But we will make it to the end as soon as we can. All right, take care. And I'm going to see if I can figure out how to stop sharing and turn off Zoom. All right, there we are. Have a great rest of the day. I'll see you guys tomorrow.